Yes, that's absolutely true. Yeah, sure, if a woman were to be nominated for president, it's the same thing. If you don't vote for the woman, then you're sexist. If you don't vote for Barack Obama, you're racist. Any minority that would run for president, it's no longer about people's ideas. It's no longer about what people stand for. We're all based on these surface things, and we're also trying to be politically correct and not to offend anyone. God forbid we should offend women. And if you don't vote for Hillary, should she get the nod for the Democratic Party, then you must hate women. And so this intimidates people, and I don't understand how people can be so wishy-washy. Even washy-wishy, because they care so much about what other people think about them, and they don't want to be called a racist or a homophobic or a Islamophobe or any of these things. But forget the labels. That's what we have to do. But you and I are doing this. I don't know if the world is not going to do it, whatever. And until it gets to an extreme thing. We have to be nice to Adolf Hitler. After all, he has some good ideas. He came from a good family. This is what they were saying in the 30s. Neville Chamberlain, the famous pacifist. And he tried to smooth things over. It's okay. It's okay. We get Adolf to sign this paper, everything will be fine. He can be trusted. You can't trust evil. Evil is evil. And we are so blind to evil. As we look at the white horse rider, oh, he's on a white horse, Martin, in Revelation 6. Must be Jesus Christ. He's on a white horse. No, the Antichrist is on a white horse because evil today is disguised as good. And you have to have spiritual insight in order to see it. And when you see what God does with the religions at the end of this eon, and we do have a sneak preview into it. You can read about it. It's in the book of the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Once you see what God's opinion is of human religion, you can come back to our present day, when they're also beautiful, and you can see what God thinks of them, and then you can have a more accurate assessment of them. And Christianity is evil. You know, I've said this. Now, it doesn't mean that there aren't good people in Christianity, just as I know there are good people in Islam, in Buddhism, Hinduism. There are good people. But the good people are part of an evil system. It's the system that is evil, and the system makes it so that it's attractive. This is known as the systemization of the deception, Ephesians somewhere, chapter 4, or maybe 6. The systemization of the deception. Satan has done this. He's made the deception systemized. That is, he's put it in a nice suit. He's made it acceptable. He's made it organized. He's made it so that it seems to be the most inviting, innocent, benign thing you could possibly get into. And many good people who are nonetheless ignorant as all get out join these religions. And if any listening to my voice are in the Christian religion, you feel like you must go to church for the sake of the children so that they learn about God. You do not understand the situation. And you need to get your children out of church. That is where Satan lives today. Yeah, it's less obvious than outright Satan worship. But I recommend outright Satan worship. Because at least it's outright. At least it's not hiding itself behind whitewash. Because Christianity is Satan worship. Because Satan is indoctrinating the world into his teachings, Satan's teachings, through the agency, through the pretty little pill of the Christian religion. It's the spoonful of sugar that helps Satan's diabolical teachings go down. 1 Timothy 4:1, Paul talks about the teachings of demons. What are these? I can name them for you easily. Human free will. That man is really the one who's in charge of his destiny. The cross? No. That makes salvation available to you, gives you the opportunity to save yourself by believing. That is humanism. That's out and out, rank, rotten, defiled humanism, that a human being can dictate his or her own destiny, but it's dressed up in a theological doctrine called free will. Where is it taught? In the bars? In the strip clubs? In the place where you are told the epitome of evil? No, it's taught in church. Where is eternal torment taught? That is the most hideous teaching ever, that God is a tormentor, that God is so evil, that he's more evil than Hitler. He doesn't just burn people and they're dead. Oh no, he finds a way to keep them alive in flame. Hitler couldn't even figure that one out and tortures them for eternity. Where do you hear that? In the bar? In the strip clubs? That's where the evils are supposed to lurk. No, the worst evils of this eon are in the churches, the Christian churches. And in the synagogues, in the mosques, anywhere religion is named, that's where the demons are. The fact that these four beasts came out of the sea speaks of a demonic source of the religions. And every religion on earth has a demonic source. Not Judaism. That's the only legitimate system of worship. What God began. I'm talking about the four major religions. I would just as soon you take your six-year-old to a bar or a strip club than a church. And I am dead serious about that. You don't know where the evil is, people. You don't know where the evil is. They serve alcohol at the bar. God recommends alcohol in the scriptures. Doesn't he? He doesn't recommend getting drunk. Martin, that's where all the fights happen. Yeah, for drunk people. And what is wrong? The strip club is supposed to be evil, but what is wrong with the beauty of the human body? I ask you. And yet in churches, God is defamed, humanity is elevated, evil is called good, good is called evil. People develop neuroses, they develop depression, they kill themselves, they worry themselves to death, they kill themselves via guilt, they begin smoking and getting drunk and doing terrible things because they think God hates them. That's Christianity. That's where Satan works his worst. Now, the white horse rider, of course, he's on a white horse because Satan, as I told you last Friday, disguises himself as a messenger of light and of righteousness. A white animal back in the days of the scripture were reserved for a public personage or a special occasion, princes and kings. Victors of war came on the white horse. And that's why John saw a white horse and its rider to typify the man of lawlessness. A bridegroom in Israel was honored by a white mount in his wedding procession. Now, when the white horse rider comes, he's followed by the cavalry of heaven on white horses, unveiling 19:14. Let's go there. Revelation 19:14. Going to take a sneak preview into this. Let's go to verse 11, Revelation 19. I perceived heaven open, and lo, a white horse. All right, this is the legitimate white horse rider. Sorry, I didn't mean to make you think I was going to. I thought for a second we were going to see another reference to the man of lawlessness. I perceived heaven open, and lo, a white horse, and he, capital H, who was sitting on it, called Faithful and True. Notice that's not mentioned in Revelation chapter 6. So we're getting the contrast here between the false white horse rider and the true. And in righteousness is he judging and battling. Now his eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. Interesting. He has diadems on his head. In a second, I'm going to show you what the white horse rider of Revelation 6 has on his head. It's not the common crown. It's a wreath, and there's a reason for that. Back to the good white horse rider. Having names written on which no one except himself is aware, he is clothed in a cloak dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, dressed in cambric, white and clean, followed him on white horses, followed him on white horses. And out of his mouth a sharp blade is issuing, that with it he should be smiting the nations, and he will be shepherding them with a rod of iron." Now, here is the similarity. I'm glad I read this, and I see now why it's in the context, in that both white horse riders are going to have followings. Both are going to be strong. Both are going to have the accoutrements of kingship, headship, leadership. Both are going to kill. Both are going to be armed. And both, again, are going to have a vast following. The Antichrist is going to have a vast following among humanity. And he has a wreath on his head rather than a typical crown. So it's not like the crown speaks of a birthright, because kings pass their crown down to their sons. But he has a wreath, and this is accorded to victors in the games. The Olympic Games, which even in Paul's day, they had the what was called in Corinth the Isthmian Games. And ancient times goes back to rewarding victors of great even battles and conquests and victories in sporting events with the wreath, the olive wreath. The Antichrist, the white horse rider of Revelation 6, will have gained his place by exploits, by some great daring do, probably in some kind of field of battle. And he gets this by his own efforts, not by birthright. It's conquest of some kind which has acclaimed him and made him worthy, made him the obvious choice by the world to take this place of leading the world into a pseudo-righteousness, a pseudo-time of peace. Okay, he's going to vanquish. He's going to solve problems. He's a problem solver. And he's going to vanquish the lion, the leopardess, and the she-bear. That is, he's going to vanquish Islam, Buddhism, and Hinduism. Not that Buddhism and Hinduism need vanquished or that they're rising, but he's going to make sure that only the Western religion becomes the prevailing religion. And there's only one Western religion, ladies and gentlemen, and that is Christianity. Tomorrow, I am going to look at the weapon. This is magnificent. I'm going to look at the weapon of the white horse rider of Revelation. It's very telling. And then towards the end of the week, we're going to look at war, because the next horse coming up is very gruesome. To be exceeded in gruesomeness only by the black and the green horses. The four horsemen of the apocalypse coming to an era near you, namely this one.